sight. Psalm chapter 32 and in verse number 9. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. That's our text. Notice the first phrase again. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. Brother Tom asked us this evening before we started in the meeting, he said, where are you going to go to tonight, preacher? I said, well, it'll be a little different than this morning. This morning's a little bit out of the ordinary in terms of the direction or the manner in which we approach the passage of Scripture. Tonight a little different as well, but I'm going to be much more direct and much more simple tonight. This morning we looked at a passage through a very prophetic lens and saw the application of that passage and really did not come anywhere near exhausting what Genesis 49 and even those five verses that we glanced at this morning didn't even come near exhausting the truths that are held in them. I really only looked at a twofold application of that this morning, where there are three manifestations of that prophecy. I never even got to the third one because it was not applicable to what we were preaching about this morning. But in the passage of Scripture tonight, I don't want to look at it prophetically. I just want to look at it practically and go very directly at this passage of Scripture. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule. I look at this passage of Scripture and thought about the accidents that happen on the road of life. You see, an accident is an unexpected and undesirable event, a mishap, an unforeseen happening, and without apparent cause. Strictly speaking, in life, most accidents are not accidents at all. In the automobile business, when accidents happen, they are normally collisions that could have and should have been avoided had someone taken proper care and cause to avoid the accident. So what causes them? How do you avoid them in life? Studies show that the causes of most automobile accidents, outside of the substance abuse issue, but outside of that, the other causes of most accidents are unreasonable speed and undeniable stubbornness. Unreasonable speed and undeniable stubbornness. Someone attempting to impose their will on the highway, or someone driving at a speed at which it is unsafe to operate an automobile. And don't none of y'all look at me like that while I'm preaching this way here tonight, but the unreasonable speed and undeniable stubbornness. Psalms chapter 32 and verse 9 identifies the cause for most of our accidents spiritually, and one is seen in the horse and the other one is seen in the mule. He said, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. Notice he says about both of them that they have no understanding. Their mouth must be held with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near to thee. Unless there become an accident, somebody's got to control them, or else there'll be a collision. They'll cause an accident. They'll hurt somebody by doing something stupid or foolish in some manner, unless somebody controls them with a bit or a bridle. And most of our accident spiritually comes from the same thing: unreasonable speed or undeniable stubbornness. The horse and the mule picture for us two wrong attitudes that people have when they're seeking the Lord's guidance. The horse wants to charge right ahead, and the mule wants to lag behind. The horse tends to be impatient, high-spirited, and impetuous, and the mule is stubborn, slow, and obstinate. And my friend, they show both extremes, and it seems like, as human beings, we have a tendency to hit one of these extremes or the other, and very seldom do we see a tend just to yoke up with the Lord and let Him put the bit and bridle in our mouth and Him control us and us yield to His lordship that Brother John talked about a while ago. We tend to have, my friend, accidents or mishaps on the road of life because we are like the horse or the mule. Now I want to show you both these animals and I'll be done here tonight. But notice this horse shows us haste or speed. Haste or speed. The horse has a nature that makes it want to run away. The horse has a tendency to bolt. It, my friend, it is noted for its swiftness. Notice nobody ever went to a mule race. They have horse races, not mule races. Amen. A horse is noted for its swiftness.
They had no planes, trains, and automobiles. And the quickest mode of getting from point A to point B would have been on horseback. No faster means to move. Many lived their lives just like that. They love to run, friend. And if something happens they don't know how to handle, they run. If something happens and the heat gets turned on, they run. When problems get big in their lives, they run. When they have struggles that they don't know how to handle, they run. And my feeling, whenever the bills get to piling up, whenever it is that their troubles get high, when family tensions get great, they have a tendency just to drop and run. Drop all their responsibilities. I know many people who in their over-eagerness to get things done begin to run. They run, but they run unsinned. They run, but they run without a command of God. They run, but they run without the approval of the Lord. They run, but they run without God being in their lives. They run, but they run ahead of the Lord. There's a man, I forget the fellow's name, seemed like his name may have been Cushai, and the Bible talks about how that he wanted to run, and he thought he had a message, and so it was that they sent a message back to the king David concerning his son and concerning the battle and all that stuff, and that this boy wanted to run, and they had sent a messenger back with the message, and this other boy said, "Can I run also?" And he said, "Run, but you didn't have a message, but run." And he outran the messenger. And when the king saw him coming, he said, "This is a good man. Surely he'll have a good word." He got there and huffed and puffed, but he had no word from the Lord. He was running, but he was running unseen. He was running, but he was running ahead of the message. He was running, but he was not in agreement with the master. Oh, how we need not to be as the horse, friend. Not to be in haste or in speed, getting ahead of God. Outrunning God in the process of our running, and end up in our own ways and in trouble. Many rush ahead when they don't know what they're doing or where they're going. How often do we rush into things without taking time to pray, without taking time to think, without taking time to seek God's will? Oh, we must make impulsive decisions and things that we later regret in life. How many, my friend, have married out of the will of God because they were in haste and have lived to regret it? Amen. How many have bought property and homes and automobiles in haste and have lived to regret those quick snap decisions? How many have said things, friend, words that cannot be put in a box and put back away as if they never had come and been let out, friend, in haste? They spoke and misspoke and said something they regretted and could not take back. We have a tendency sometimes to be like the horse, and we just snap, we just jump, we just react, we just go, and we don't really think, and we don't see God's will in our lives. But the Bible said, "Be not as the horse." One mark of spiritual maturity is patience. Proverbs 19:2 said, "He that hasteth with his feet sinneth." Oh, the old proverb said, this is not the proverb from the Bible now, this is an old wise saying. It says, "Haste makes waste. Haste is the road to terror. Haste is the key that often unlocks the door to many sorrows." We are so prone to be hasty in our ways. I don't know how many times I've watched people that are slow in their ways and methodical and poke around about things and take forever to do anything and everything. And I just want to scream at them sometimes, "Do something if it's wrong. But quit sitting around and doing nothing and let's go." Oh, friend, how many times have I gotten impatient because of someone on the highway? Oh, every single solitary day, use it for a couple of hours a day. Somebody playing pity pat with their brakes, amen, up and down the roads, and I'm wanting them to hurry it up. But I'm telling you, sometimes we get in such a hurry going through life. Some of you here tonight, you're in a hurry to get your life over with, and I don't know why you're going to die when it's done, and you're in a hurry for every day to pass, in a hurry for your their children to get grown in a hurry, for this to happen and that to happen. If we can just get past this, then we'll be okay. If you get past everything giving you trouble, you'll be dead. I mean, friend, every time you're getting past something, you're getting nearer to the grave. Long as what you're in this world, there's going to be stuff to deal with. You can't race past all your troubles. You can't outrun out all your problems. Oh, be not as the horse, impulsive, and my friend, unreasonable in his speed, high-spirited, impatient, impetuous. Oh, God, help us to slow down sometime and be circumspect in our walk.
Amen. Oh, I thought about how that last week, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I'm careful not about eating mushrooms and have been for years on account they usually have made me sick, but it's been years and years and years and years and years and years since I've had any up until about maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago, and they served us a meal at a place where we were at a business luncheon or business banquet sorts, and so it had this mushroom gravy business on, and of course I didn't want to be that person who complained about everything. I mean, this is $100 meal. I'd have never paid that for it, but somebody did, and I was trying not to be, you know, difficult or complain, but I was concerned about it making me sick, and so I tried brushing them off, and they had some sort of mushroom gravy thing, and I thought, well, I better not even eat the gravy, but the gravy was all over the whole plate, and I didn't know how I was going to avoid that, and I ate it and I didn't get sick, and I thought, well, this won't bother me anymore then. And then later on I had something else and it had a few of them in it, and I thought, well, I didn't want to send it back because of again a business meal of sorts, and I thought, well, I'll just try to pick through some of it, and I ate a little bit of them and it didn't make me sick. And I thought, well, it must have been just one of those things that happened when I was a kid. You know, you grow out of some of those things and they don't bother you. And then last Saturday night, yesterday was a week ago, and I don't know if I had, my friend, a virus. I don't know if I got food poisoning. I don't know if it was the mushrooms, but I ordered something at a restaurant and it was packed up and loaded with them. And I drug some of them out and I ate some of them and I just dealt with it. And I thought, well, I don't want to be that person that sends them back. If you are with me and I send it back, buddy, I'm just going to be the person that sends them back. Because I ate those things and I was so sick, I thought for sure I was going to die. I didn't have another good meal. I didn't eat another full meal from Saturday evening until Thursday. And even then, I didn't really even want the thing. I'm telling you, made me sick. Oh, it made me sick. But this afternoon, I read a story and made me think about it. And so I'm going to tell you the story. And it illustrates how sometimes we are like the horse. And we jump to conclusions and we get in a hurry. And we make snap decisions. And a lot of times, we don't have all the facts. This story said a lady invited her friend to a mushroom and steak dinner. And when the mushrooms were opened, a slight scum was on the top of the mushrooms. And the guests were expected shortly. This lady had run out of time, and she decided to go ahead and serve them to a little dog that they had. Give him just a little bit of them, and if he eats it and he doesn't die or get sick, then it's probably all right to serve it to our guests. They served a little bit of it to the dog. The dog liked it and begged for more. So the dinner was completed, and then they served it to the guests. After the main course, the maid hurriedly whispered to her mistress, "Ma'am, the dog is dead. He is dead, sure as the world." There was no time to lose at all. Sometime after the guests were reclining at my friend and resting and recovering after all of their stomachs had been pumped and cleaned out, worried about the sicknesses that would come on them, the lady looked at the maid and said, "Where is the dog now?" And the maid says, "Ma'am, the dog is out on the front steps where he laid down after he got hit by that car." Oh, sometimes we don't take time to get all the facts, do we? We don't take time to get all the details. We jump to conclusions. We make snap decisions. We take measures that are uncalled for. My friend, we do things out of a hurry in a whirlwind. We don't consider the ramifications of them. We don't consider who they affect and whose lives they touch and how they impact us and all those around us. We don't even take time to digest everything that's happening around.
not as the horse. Don't be impulsive. Act in haste or in speed.
Don't be so quick to jump to conclusions about what it is that everybody around you is doing. Somebody said, I heard so-and-so about such and such. I don't believe nothing I hear, and I don't believe but about a third of what I see. Amen. And if I read it on the internet, I wouldn't believe it. If I'm not saying it, take a prophet from heaven, some sort of messenger from heaven to make me believe it if I read it on the internet. Amen. God help us. It amazes me the stupidity that people just believe that they hear. Here, there, and everywhere, and jump to conclusions. I'm going to tell you, you'll lose friends, you'll lose fellowship, you'll lose family, and my friend, you'll lose your mind if you pay to it too much attention. You can't just believe every foolish thing you hear along the way. Amen. Don't jump to conclusions and jump to decisions and make rash choices and judgments. You'll regret them somewhere on down the road. Proverbs 14 and 29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. That's what the Bible says. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. I've had people ask me, said, you heard about so-and-so. I'll say, well, I heard about it. That don't bother you? I mean, they just have heard. And I mean, their temperature's up. And their face has turned red. And their head's shaking and quivering. And they're wondering why it don't bother me. I'm going to tell you the reason why stuff usually don't bother me. Because most of it I don't believe. Amen. And then secondly, because it bothering me is not going to fix it. Getting all mad about it, flying off the handle, it ain't going to fix it. Don't be so impulsive like the horse. Don't just jump to rash decisions and conclusions. He that's slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that's of a hasty spirit exalteth folly. That means he's acting like a fool. Proverbs 29:20 says, seest thou a man that is hasty with his words? There is more hope for a fool than there is of him. You speak out of turn without thinking. There's more hope for a man that hasn't got the intelligence to think than there is somebody that'll spout his mouth off all the time without thinking. You got a perfectly good brain and you won't use it. You're crazy. I mean, you have the opportunity to stay out of trouble and keep from having problems and be a peacemaker and be a blessing to somebody, and you just run off at the mouth all the time. God have mercy, you'll cause trouble. Be ye not as the horse. Amen. Now listen, it is not, friend, any sort of coincidence that the way you fix this horse is by putting controls in his mouth. Amen. That's exactly right. You know how you stop his foolishness and, my friend, his impulsiveness and his impetuousness and his haste. Oh, you got to bridle his mouth. Oh, my friend, that's the place where we're most prone to be fast. That's the place where we're most prone to be quick on the draw, is to run our mouths, talk about what we don't know, talk about things we don't know to be so, run somebody else down, friend, and there's no profit found in it. There is no profit found in it. Somebody said, oh, preacher, you ought to have known about so-and-so. If you'd just known about so-and-so, oh, you'd have been so upset. You don't know what I'd been. And you might be surprised what I do know and what I don't know. It'd blow some of you's mind if you knew what I do know and what I don't know and all that you think you know that ain't true. Amen. About a lot of things. And I won't correct you. And when you tell me all about it, chances are I just stand there and look like I'm a big dummy and don't know nothing. But a lot of times I know a whole lot more than what you think I know or what I let on that I know. But I'm telling you, you haven't got to tell everything you think you know. Amen. Better for you to say nothing and folks think you're an idiot is to open your mind and eliminate all doubt. Amen. Be ye not as the horse. To get that horse into control, they started with his mouth. And if you could control that horse's mouth, you could control his whole being. And isn't that what the Bible talked about in the book of James? Where he said that if you could you put that bit and bridle in the horse's mouth, said you could just turn him about wherever you wanted to go. He said if a man could bridle his mouth, he'd be a perfect man. I'm going to tell you the truth. The fact of the matter is, ain't no perfect man in here, which means ain't nobody in here got a perfect bridle on his mouth. Ain't nobody in here that's above saying something stupid at the wrong time to cause somebody some problems. Amen. Nobody in here is above repeating something that you think's true. Oh, friend, that you probably ought not to say anything about that may not even have no truth to start with. Amen. Nobody in here above saying
saying something in a church service to kill the meeting, saying something to offend or wound a brother. Nobody in here is above being aware that they couldn't say something to be a stumbling block or a hindrance to somebody else along the way. There's nobody in here that's above the place where we might say something that's misunderstood or misconstrued so as to bother someone or wound somebody's spirit. And I pray God and put a bridle on our mouths that we be not impetuous and hasty. Have my feet always wound up in speed? Have my feet in careless like that old horse he is?
Amen. So prone to be hasty in our words. A hasty word can destroy a home or a partnership. A hasty step can lead to a broken hip. Amen. A hasty entrance on a highway can lead to a 5-car pileup on the road. You see, God made time, but man made haste. Amen. Oh God, help us. Waiting has rewards. Waiting has its rewards. Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 31 said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Oh friend, waiting has its rewards. You see, the Bible does say, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man, the things that God has in store for them that love Him." Oh friend, hey, if we'll wait, there is great rewards for those that wait upon the Lord. Don't get ahead of Him. Don't run unseen. Don't get in a hurry, my friend, to run with anything or run with anybody. Don't be as the horse, the Bible says. God gives the best to those that choose, that leave the choice to Him. Let God choose for your life what He wants. Let Him put the bridle in and then pull that bit one way or another so as, my friend, to keep you from causing damage. Lest they come near unto these. The last phrase in this verse. In other words, so they don't cause damage. The next verse said, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Let God choose when what to go right and when to go left and when to go forward and when to go backward and when to run and when to walk and when to trot. When, my friend, to go in haste and when to slow down. Let God give the orders in your life. Be ye not as the horse. And then He says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule. Now the horse, I told you, was impatient, high-spirited, and impetuous. The mule is stubborn, slow, and obstinate. And I'm going to tell you what happens. And Denise just looked at Brother Mark and said, "You showed up just in time." Amen. I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm just giving you a hard time for it, brother. Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you what usually happens with most of us. In life, most of us start off in life more like a horse. And by the time we get on in life, we become more muley headed as the days go by. Somebody say amen right there. We get more muley headed as the days go by. Now, a Powers young'un starts off mealy-headed, and so it gets rough by the time gray hairs goes to showing up. Oh, friend, but I'm telling you, we get mealy-headed. All of us do as time goes by. We have a tendency to start off impetuous and impatient and high-spirited and end up stubborn and slow and obstinate, and neither one of them are the will of God. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule. Don't be like either one. That's what the Word of God said. Is that not right? The horse has a nature that makes it want to run. The mule has a nature that makes it want to rebel. The horse has a nature that makes it want to bolt. The mule has a nature that makes it want to balk. The horse is noted for its swiftness. The mule is noted for its stubbornness. The horse has a tendency to race. The mule has a tendency to resist. While horses are always running, mules are always pulling. They tend to slow down. And my friend, they are
are slow to come into motion, and they are stubborn to respond to commands. To get them to move in a certain direction many times, you have to entice a mule, a carrot, or some sort of trick to get them to move. How many of you, if your wife is going to get you to do anything, she's got to either feed you or trick you, one of the two, get you to move. If your husband's going to get you to respond, he's got to do something to entice you or trick you. How many people have had a mule that just wouldn't plow if they didn't beat the mule? Must we be chastened by the Lord to get us to do anything? Are we so stubborn and so lazy and so complacent and so sold up and so satisfied and so at ease that my friend God has to whip us and has to chasten us just to get us to serve Him? Just to do anything, does God have to take drastic measures with us? Don't be as the horse or as the mule. Many people are always pulling back on anything and everyone. That old mule just pulls back. I'm reminded of the old story of the fellow that Baptist deacon who had that mule, and he told that Amish man, he said, sold him, says, "You don't want to buy this mule." Said, "You're Amish." Said, "He won't plow for you." Said, "You know, the Amish, they're pacifist and they don't believe in any sort of violence or any sort of aggression at all." And he said, "You, to get this mule to plow, said, you got to cuss him and you got to beat him to make him plow, or else he won't do anything at all. He won't cooperate." That Amish man said, "Oh, I've been working with mules all of my life and I know how to get him to cooperate." And he bought the mule and he took him home and he plowed the mule and he got that mule out there and harnessed him up and tried to get him to go, and the mule wouldn't do anything at all. And he tried to gee and ha, but the mule wouldn't go. He hollered, "Giddy up." He did everything he knew to do. The mule wouldn't go. Finally, he came walking around to the front of where that mule was, and he looked the mule in the eyes. He grabbed him by the harness, and he said, "Thou knowest that I am Amish, and thou knowest that I canst not beat thee. Thou also knowest that I canst not curse thee. But what thou knowest not is that I can sell thee back to that Baptist deacon who will beat thee and curse thee if you don't plow." Amen. And oftentimes we are like that old mule, and someone has to just about light us on fire to get us to do anything. My granddaddy would talk often about a mule they had that would stall up and would not do anything until one day they set corn sacks up under his tail and set his tail on fire, and that got him to move and free. And that, oh, and oftentimes we're like that old mule, just stall up, just refuse to move. God presses on our heart witness and we won't witness. God presses on our heart to pray and we won't pray. God deals with us about reading that book and we don't read the Bible. God, my friend, troubles us about the importance of, my friend, faithfulness and our church attendance and our tithing and our Christian lives and our home lives and our families. And we just stall up and get stubborn and get lazy like that old mule. I tell you, God can set you on fire tonight. He can motivate you to do what's right. Be not as a horse nor as that mule. Many just pull back. They just resist. They just refuse everything. They fail to yield to any sort of authority in their lives. As a child of God, we need to report to duty every day. Our will ought to be the will of God. His will ought to be the biggest concern in our life. The surrendered life is a blessed life. Yielding to the right way is the secret to success in a Christian life. We don't tell God what to do. He tells us what to do. Many times our prayer lives are more like giving orders than what they are seeking His will. We treat God like He's Santa Claus, making a Christmas list for Him. "Lord, these are the things that I want. Now, won't you hurry up and get about getting busy on that? mind that we'll say at the end of it in Jesus' name, pretending to be praying in the name of the Lord, when if we really were to pray in Jesus' name, that is, we would pray in accordance with His will. And if we pray in accordance with His will, we have this confidence that we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. Amen. Oh, He, my friend, His will is what matters. We don't tell God what to do. He tells us what to do. Psalm 25:9 says, "The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way." Do you want God to teach you His way? Or you get stubborn like an old mule, shake your old head, refuse to go His way. Those who meekly submit themselves to God are desirous to be directed and governed by God. They will be directed and governed by Him. Some of y'all don't know what a G and a H is. But I know what a G and a H is. Amen. Some of you know exactly what it is too, because you ain't near as young as you look like you are. Amen. And you know what a G and a H is. And friend, you know what it means to go right and to go left. And Sister Carolyn's telling on Brother Wayman that he don't know exactly what a G and a H is. Amen. Some of you knows what it is to be called plowboy. I have never plowed with a mule, but I know what a G and a H is. And friend, I'm going to tell you, whenever the Lord directs me to the right or to the left, that's where I want to go. May the Lord help me to become submissive, and my friend, not to resist His will, but to be desirous of the will of God in our lives. Hey friend, the Lord God will guide the submissive one. He'll not guide the stubborn one. Life without submission to the Lord will lead to sorrow, friend. Verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. You get all stubborn, soul up. God's pressing on your life. You know exactly what you ought to do. God's pressing on your life and you're just refusing to do it. You're in for a double dose of trouble, friend. You're in for a double dose of trouble. My daddy used to say, and this ain't in the Bible, but it wouldn't hurt the Bible to put this in there. My daddy used to say, hard heads make sore places. Amen. That's exactly right. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of them places were inflicted by James Powers himself. Amen. That's exactly right. Hard heads make sore places. You want to go your own way, be so stubborn and so obstinate. Your mom and dad tried to tell you. Your family's tried to warn you. The preacher's preached till his liver turned inside out, trying to tell you what's right, how to live right, how to do right, how to walk right. Tried to tell you and warn you against sin and warn you against the things of this world. Warned you against wanton wickedness and lewdness and temptation. Warned you against, my friend, this frivolity of this old world and the lightheartedness of sin. Warned you against that lewd woman or that troublemaking man. And my friend, warns you against that bottle of liquor. And my friend, the things of this old world. Warns you against a dance floor. Warns you against the wrong crowd. Warns you about living the way the world lives. And you get stubborn. You scotch your heels. You dig in and say, I'll go my own way, do my own thing. You try to shake the bit bridle out of your mouth. You get rebellious. Be ye not as the horse, nor as the mule. I tell you, sorrows are coming on down the road. Proverbs 29:1, he that been often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. I'm that without remedy. I'm telling you, I can preach to you till I'm blue in the face, but if you won't hear what I'm preaching tonight and do something about it in your life, when those times of trouble and judgment, my friend, when you reap what you've sown comes in your life, I cannot help you. I've preached to them in this church, warned them about the wild music. Amen. I've preached to them in this church, warned them about the worldly ways and the wanton wickedness and the lewd women. I've preached to them in this church, warned them about things. I remember lots of them that I've preached to over the years. Mamas and daddies getting mad at me about what I preach and how I preach. Boys and girls usually not as much as the mamas and daddies. How you know why, don't you? Because when I preach against it and mom and daddy won't do nothing about it, it makes them feel inadequate as parents because they're too yellow to take action on what the man of God's preaching about. Somebody say amen, because you know I'm preaching right. And they'd get mad about that. And don't you boys preach like this. Y'all don't do like I do. Just obey God. But I got to preach like this tonight. Amen. And my friend, they'd try to get rebellious and get all mad about it. And there's a lot of them I've caught and sat in the hospital room and found some babies in my lap with daddy nowhere to find. And my friend, I want so bad to say, I tried to tell you 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, but you would not listen. I've taken mamas and visited my friend the jail cells, held mamas in my arms while they squat on my shoulders, and we looked through the glass at their boy on the other side of that window, my friend, incarcerated. And I try to want to say to that mama, I tried to tell you 5, 8, 10 years ago, and you got angry, and you got impetuous, and you sold up, and you got mad. Well, may God help us to not be like that old mule tonight.
Amen.
I am not in the business of controlling anybody's life. I'm not the church police. I'm not interested in making you do anything. But I'm telling you, I would be derelict as a pastor not to get up and sound the trumpet and warn you about wickedness and sin and filthiness and ungodliness and the ways of this whole world. And I'm going to tell you, it'd be foolish to hear the sound of the trumpet, hear the warning about these things, shake your old muley head and go your own way. I tell you, many sorrows will come to the wicked. Many of families I've preached to them, tried to preach to them, and tried to tell them is on their way to trouble and heartache and problems. And then I've had to sit with men and women, my friend, and listen to them tell me how that their spouse has took off with somebody off the internet, my friend 500 miles away, or whatever else. And I tried to preach to them, and there's the same ones that sold up. I met with a man one night down here between here and Carrollton. He wanted me to come see him, said he's ready to quit coming to our church. And he said, I'm just tired of all the things you're preaching on. You're preaching on all the time. I said, all you want to do is preach on liquor. All you want to do is preach on earrings and men's ears and so forth and all this kind of business. I'm so tired of all the stuff. All you want to do is preach on stuff all the time. I said, what's the matter? Are you drinking? You don't have earrings in your ears. What is the matter with you? What's bothering you? Well, the time come. A friend very soon thereafter. Listen, I don't revel in this. It breaks my heart. The time come very soon thereafter. Friend, their refrigerator was full of liquor again. Their boys had earrings hanging in their ears. Right now, as far as I know, one of them's daughters are living, my friend, with a man. That sat up and got children out of wedlock. That man's wife took off with a fella in Kentucky off the internet and left him. He's tried to commit suicide multiple times. I took him to the dry clinics and the hospitals, begged him to come to church. He won't answer the door when I knock on it. I want him to get right with God, and I love him, and I pray for him to this day. But I'm telling you, I can't help the effects of sin. All I can do is warn you not to go that route. After sin's ruined your family and robs you of what's important and valuable, I can't fix it then. Would you hear the warning of the man of God tonight? Don't be as a horse nor as the mule. Is anybody listening to what I'm preaching this evening? I'm going to tell you, a man that's got a mule, a farmer that's got a mule, he does not make that mule plow because he hates his mule. But if that mule don't plow, neither he nor the farmer will eat. Amen. Oh, but if that mule will plow, you know what the ratio of feed was, my friend, between one mule and the average farmer. Whenever we first had the last days, in other words, when they were plowing and by mules and farming primarily by mules and by hand before tractors were introduced in the United States, you know what the ratio was between the farmer and the mule, and which how much the mule got compared to the farmer? Half of the corn that was taken out of a corn crop was fed to the mule, and half was given to the farmer. And the farmer would take his half, and he had to use it to buy all of his seed and pay his mortgage and feed his family. The mule got half of everything they raised in the cornfield. The mule, had he not plowed, had he sold up, had it sawed up and decided, I'll not plow. He'd been hurting himself more than anybody else. I don't want to tell you what God's doing with your heart. How would God's working with your soul? He's not cheating and hard with you because He hates you. He's trying to produce something for your life. He's trying to produce something to enrich you and to feed you and to nourish you. Do not be as a horse or as a mule. It's right, ain't it? God help us tonight. God help us. If you'll get submissive, and if you'll let God work in your life, and let Him call the shots, let Him call the direction, let Him call the speed at which you move, then God will honor you and bless you and help you. But if you live impulsively, like the horse, or you live with resistance, like the mule, then you'll never live in the perfect will of God like the Lord intended for you to. I'm finished preaching. You can come on with a song. Many accidents are observed in our land as a result of speed and stubbornness. That's right, isn't it? Many tragedies are seen on the road of life as well, and they're usually the result of speed or stubbornness. The horse is impulsive, out of control. The mule is inflexible, stubborn, and unreasonable. And we laugh at both of them and some of the stories that I've told tonight. But sometimes all of us act like one or the other. Imagine a horse or a mule without a master or an owner. Think about it. A horse or a mule, no master, no owner. It spent its days roaming in the fields, galloping over the hillsides, lying in the sun. You're thinking, man, that sounds like the good life to me. Yet it would be a life without purpose and without reason. It would merely be an existence. However, when the will of the horse or the mule is brought into subjection of the master, it'll find purpose in its life. It finds reason and cause for its existence. Its purpose may now be pulling a plow, or it might be trotting in a show, or running a race. But whatever the case is, it has a purpose because of the will of its master has brought a purpose into its life. When we are in the will of God, we won't find life all the time to be roaming in the fields, galloping on the hillsides, lying in the sun, living, my friend, just without reason. But God, though it may be pulling a plow, though, my dear friends, sometimes it may be labor. And when we find the will of God for our lives, we'll find that our lives has purpose. It has meaning. It will accomplish something. God will bless us and bless others through what He does in us. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle. May the Lord bridle us tonight and bring something productive out of our lives. Some way the Lord's convicted your heart tonight. Across the building there's a great variation. Some of you's in such a hurry. You're in such a hurry. You're in a hurry to get grown. You're in a hurry to get married. You're in a hurry to drive a car. You're in a hurry to get out from under your mom and daddy's roof. You're in a hurry for everybody to stop telling you what to do and you not to have to do what anybody else says. And I'm going to tell you, that day ain't never coming. You're in a hurry for everything, and all you're doing is hastening the time you go into the grave, because all you're going to do is live and die in this old world. You're in such a hurry, and then some of you are so stuck you couldn't move. You're stuck like glue. God trying to do something with you and you resist. The Holy Ghost wanting you to live for Him and you resist. God wanting to use you and you resist. I'm going to tell you, folks across the building got problems, all of us do, and they're all different. But if we'll let God take control of our lives and be our master and our Lord, there is no telling what He'd accomplish in us. Stand to your feet if you need to pray. I'll give you what the Lord's laid on my heart. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule. You continue to act the way you've been, you continue to do what you've been doing, there'll be a mishap. There'll be a disaster along the way. And when that happens, it'll be too late to help you then. Sing when you're ready, Sister Melissa, if you will. If you need to pray, I'd ask you to come. God, help us tonight. Yes, amen. How about it, friend? How about it now? Lord, help us to be cooperative. Not to get ahead or behind. Just walk right by your side. Amen. Not to resist. Shake that old feeling head. Race away from you. But help us, Lord, to be patient and do what's exactly right in your will. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule. Done in your life. God, help us tonight. That you want to teach your Sunday school class. You got a way that you want to run your house. You got a plan that you want to implement for your life. You've got a way that you'd like for church to operate. You set on all of that so that you won't let God do it the way He wants to do it. Preacher, you know how to preach. You got a way you think it ought to be done. Got your heart set on this is how it ought to operate. I'm going to tell you, I got the stick poked in the middle of my spokes on that a long time ago. Started preaching, I had no idea how it's supposed to be done. Every time I'd preach, it's like an experiment. Trying to figure out what in the world to do. Feel so lost as a ball in high weeds. I'd been preaching for a year and a half. Before I figured out, just turn it loose and let God figure it out. Prepare, study, get myself ready, spend time in prayer, and my friend, then just let God preach me the way He wanted to preach me. I know some of you find this hard to believe. I had to quit looking at the clock. Amen. I had to quit worrying about whether or not anybody cheered me on or said amen or not. I found out that it was going to be my lot to preach in some of the deadest churches in the southeastern United States. And I had to quit preaching for an amen. And I had to quit preaching for a handshake. And I had to quit preaching for a smile and a head nod. And I had to just start learning just to preach for Jesus.
Amen.
Just try to do the will of God. And when folks got saved, I rejoiced. And when they didn't get saved, I had to go home and examine myself and say, Lord, did I obey you? And if I could say yes, then I had to be satisfied with that because that's all I could do. It's all that's inside my control. Some of you wonder why your family won't work just right. I'm going to tell you, there is only so much you can do. Some of you are frustrated because you can't fix some things. There's only some things that you can do. them of you'd like to do as an uncle or an aunt or a brother or sister or a child or a mom or a dad or a husband or a wife. You'd like to just take and whoop the fire out of them. And if it'd fix it, you'd be prone to do it. But you can't fix it. Work circumstances. You've tried your best to impose your will. You've charged ahead like the horse. You've sat stubborn like the mule, and it hadn't worked. Have you tried turning it all over to the Lord? I'm going to tell you, I end up beating my head against the wall so many times, y'all have no idea. Not stubborn, you have no idea how self-determined, how much tenacity that I have about things. Very few times have I ever been accused of being a quitter. But I'm going to tell you, there's been a lot of times I've beat my head against the wall trying to make it work the way I think it should. Only to figure out that I couldn't make it work the way I wanted to make it work, even if somebody was to turn loose and let me try. So I guess I better turn it over to the Lord. It's in His hands, friend. And if we would learn to let go and let God be God in our lives, it'd save us a whole lot of heartache and a whole lot of trouble. Well, I've beat that dead horse by as long as what it can. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule. Have you obeyed the Lord this evening, done what the good Holy Ghost have you to do in the meeting tonight?